for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, August the 30th, 2002. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Duran of New Joy Ministries of Youngstown, Arizona is the speaker of the evening.
I always say, and I'm going to say it again tonight, there's nothing worse than going to a place and feeling like a stranger. How many of you are born again? Well, some of you went like, oh, God. I want you to walk around and greet somebody. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. You're going to forget at least. Call.
You know, we used to embarrass the heck out of our visitors at church. Am I humming over here? Hello?
No?
Okay. Because we would always make them stand up and introduce themselves, you know. We don't do that anymore. We just tell them, this service is prepared for you. You're welcome in this house. Amen. Sometimes you introduce folks and they never come back. They're so embarrassed. I'm a three-chord man, whatever that means. I get impressed when they stand up here. Give me a G. Whatever it is, you know. I wrote a song a long time ago. I want to just... Sometimes I don't remember my own songs. The last line is, you can see it, that vibrates. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Are we having church? We're also having fun. Breaking barriers and coming together. Broken bread in the hand of the Master, touching many for the kingdom of God. Broken bread in the hand of the Master, let me be broken bread with your love. Fill me to overflowing. Let your love flow through me. Fill me to overflowing. Let me be broken bread with your love. It's neat when you write your own song, you follow your own beat, you follow your own song. If the guitar's out of tune, you just follow yourself. Hallelujah. Broken bread in the hands of the Master, touching many for the kingdom of God. Broken bread in the hands of the Master, let me be broken bread with your love. Fill me to overflowing. Let your love flow through me. Fill me overflowing. Let me be broken bread with your love. Fill me to overflowing. Let your love flow through me. Fill me to overflowing. Let me be broken bread with your love. Yay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. You may be seated. No, you can keep it. You got to learn it. We were having communion one day, and I was thinking, you know, that's what we ought to be, broken bread. And make others taste of the Lord. Hallelujah. You ready for the word?
Amen.
You know, I was just thinking about all the grandmas. It's, I don't know, vanity. I know that pride is terrible. But vanity is something else. My mother always used to say that vanity knocks you down and pride lifts you up. You know. I was thinking about all these grandmas, you know, thinking about little Johnny, who was 7 years old. And he went and asked Grandma how old she was. And Grandma said, Johnny, you don't ask women that, those questions. I said, oh? I said, well, how much you weigh? He said, you don't ask that either. You don't ever ask a woman those two questions. So little Johnny happened to see Grandma's driver's license. And I said, Grandma, I know how much you weigh. I said, it says you weigh 147. And your age is 67. I said, and you also, it also says that you got an F in sex. Anyway, praise God. You can find that in Jag 1:1. There's a little. But vanity is something else, isn't it? It's hard getting old, I'll tell you. First time I found I was getting old is when I went to the barber. They don't ask you how you want your hair cut. They ask you if they can trim your nose, your eyebrows, and your ears. You know, something happens when we men get old. You know, it seems like the hair goes inward and comes out. And vanity comes. You know, we might have one string, but we want to cover it. Praise God. I'm sorry, brother. I love you. I'm very hard to do with good like a medicine. Amen. I'm just me. I'm not the Jack Benny of Christianity. I just like to enjoy the presence of God. You know, I just want to also remind you, you know, this morning, some of you almost needed deliverance when Brother Noel used the word bitch. I mean, you just learned like... But you know, that's a real word. It really is not what we call a cuss word. It's the name of a female dog. In the dictionary, it also says that it's a complaining woman. But the curse comes when you use the son of in front of it. You love me? Okay. Are you going to call me back, Brother Glenn? We're going to destroy principalities and pull down strongholds and all kinds of things. Before I go into the word, I want you to stand with me. You know, I married a gringa, a white woman, and she's taught me a lot of English. That's a benefit that I have. But I want to let you know what you have. The Bible says that there are certain things that we have. And if we don't understand what we have and who we are in Christ, we're not going to make it. Because I need to know who I am. Jesus, God says I am that I am, but then He also gives me a lot of things that I am. We quoted those yesterday from being the salt of the earth, the righteousness, partakers, chosen, all those things that I am. I want to ask you to repeat after me the things that I have. Look at somebody and say, I have some things. Hey, hey! Amen. I want you to say this. I have the mind of Christ. I have obtained an inheritance. I have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I overcome the world. I have everlasting life and will not be condemned. I have the peace of God, which passes understanding. I have received power, the power of the Holy Spirit, power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, power to cast out demons, powers over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Somebody bless God. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you tonight. Come on, give him praise with me. We worship you, Lord. We come to glorify your holy name. You're worthy of praise. We bless your holy name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask tonight that this word would be so real to us. Father, I ask that you would just reveal your purposes here in this place. And Father, we want to thank you for the delivering power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we worship you and thank you for it. We magnify you tonight. Be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Again, look at somebody and say, pay attention. You might learn some things. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible teaches us in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And by the word of their testimony, and they didn't shrink even from death. That means that they were willing to die, and some did and some are. And unless you really know who you are in Christ and understand the calling in your life and the purpose of God, you will shrink from everything that scares you.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? But God is an awesome God. Amen. What's your name?
Joy.
Stand up. The Lord still wants to set you free from the area of intimidation, timidity. The Lord says that you're going to do some awesome things. He wants to use you in a greater measure. But you're intimidated not so much by demonic forces, you intimidate yourself. Can you understand that? It's within you the power to release and walk in victory. Sometimes you walk, this is not sarcastic or catty, but sometimes you walk like a tail with a dog, like a tail between his legs, because you're afraid. And God says he wants to break that off of you, because God has called you as a singing minstrel to the house of worship. And God wants to destroy that within you so that you're not intimidated even with the church. These are not your enemies. The Lord's going to bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And most of you probably know this. You've been coming here. You study the word of the Lord. And so you know a lot of things already that are going to be taught. But you know, it's been said that we must hear things at least 10 times before they even settle in our hearts. Amen. I'm still learning things. I'm still enlarging my borders. And God is doing some awesome thing. In chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 5, it says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." I think last night we dealt with some of these things. Last night, been dealing with all these things through the deliverance ministry. And so we see that God has called us into a place to be able to understand the curses that come and how they follow in our lives. And I think, you know, I grew up in a family, my parents were Christians, but I never heard them teach us anything about curses and deliverance. They just believed that God, and so many miracles in their churches as a young boy. I saw the power of God. I saw people, cripples walk. I saw tumors taken out and put in jars and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so I've seen the power of God, but I've also have known the power of Satan. Because if you don't serve God, you serve somebody.
Amen.
Amen. And so the thing that happens with these curses that have followed our generation, like I told you last night, I never knew my grandparents, but I knew my father was drank and was an alcoholic. But I thank God that the greatest inheritance that they ever left me was that I knew them as Christians. I knew what they used to do, but I never knew when they were that. I only know them as they worship God. My father was a singing minstrel. He used to go through the streets with those big speakers on the car and speak the word and sing in the streets and do awesome things. So I just praise God for that. I don't know if some of you are familiar. I'd like to share with you a couple of stories that are about. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Max Jukes? That's good. Max Jukes was an atheist who married a godless woman. I want to share this with you because it's very important that you understand the generational curses that are passed down from generation to generation. But we have the power to break curses, and we need to understand who we are in Christ, our position in Christ, our authority in Christ, and where we're seated. You're here and you're not. I said, don't confuse me, it's so terrible already. Jesus said we're seated in heavenly places with the Father, with Jesus. We're in Jesus. You need to understand that you're in Him. Amen? And so out of this descendants of Max Jukes who married this godless woman, some 500 descendants were traced from this man. 300 died paupers or poor or beggars. That's quite a percentage out of 500. 150 became criminals. 7 of them became murderers. 100 were known to be drunkards, and more than half of the women were prostitutes. But then I understand that the descendants of Max Jukes caused the United States more than $1.25 million in 19th century dollars. That's a lot of money for descendants. It came out about 500 descendants. And then we read about such ministers of the gospel like Jonathan Edwards, tremendous men of God. And Jonathan Edwards was a contemporary of this guy named Max Jukes. He was a committed Christian who gave God first place in his life. He married a godly woman, a godly young lady. And out of him were traced 1,394 descendants. 295 of his descendants graduated from college, of whom 13 became college presidents. And 65 of them became professors. 3 were elected as United States senators, 3 as state governors, and others were sent as ministers to foreign countries. 30 were judges, 100 were lawyers, and one of them even became a dean of one of the outstanding law schools. 56 of them practiced as doctors, and one was the dean of a medical school. 75 became officers in the military. 100 of them were well-known missionaries, preachers, and prominent authors. Another 80 held some form of public office, of whom 3 were mayors of large cities. 1 was the comptroller of the United States Treasury, and the others, there was one that was vice president of the United States. Not one of these descendants of the Edwards family was a liability to the government. Isn't that amazing? If you follow God and serve God like God wants you to serve, praying, living in the Word, keeping the Word, keeping the commandments, committed to Him, then your children and your grandchildren are going to grow up and give the devil a hard time. How many of you know you need to train your children to give the devil a hard time? You know, because of the generational curses, the Bible says that our children are going to belong to someone else. And some of our children today belong to the drugs, to the perversion, to the sexual immorality and everything that's there in the world. But God has given us power and authority to call our descendants back, our generation, our children, our grandchildren. Amen? And we can break curses in them. And that's the essence of Christianity, that God has given us power and authority. But if we don't know the power and authority that we have, we're not going to go anywhere with this word. I want to take time with this teaching. I don't know if I'm going to flip over the pulpit. Sometimes I do that. I get excited. But I just want to do a teaching to you and show you in the Word some things that I think are very pertinent for us to understand. Oh, there goes one of those big words. I don't know who it came from. But in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11 and verse 26 through 28, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. God gives us choices. A blessing or curse? How many of you want the blessing? Say, I want the blessing, Lord. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Now I want to just relate this thing because also in Deuteronomy 28, let me just take you there real quick to Deuteronomy 28. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. The Lord is an awesome God, I'll tell you. He says, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." I want to just relate, how many of you are pastors? Are there any pastors here? Or Lord ordained some of these men or women. One of the things that God does for us as shepherds that sets us as ministers of the gospel and the fivefold ministry, that God will always give us the things that we need in order to promote the gospel. Whether it be finances or whatever blessing we need, God will always send the blessing. You know, when one of my hardest times in the ministry, I was going through a real hard time. My assistant pastor quit, and actually I told him to quit. But anyway, you know, either get your act together or leave. You know. But God sent two black men to minister the word of the Lord to me that they never knew me. This man had never seen me. In Sun City, Arizona, there's no black people living there. But there was two black men sitting outside a restaurant when I went there. And the Lord sent them there to minister the word of the Lord of encouragement to me. Man, talk about a minority. Bunch of whites, two blacks, and one Mexican. Lord help us. But the word of the Lord is so powerful that God said everything that was going on. You just bought this. They described the color of the building. They described the minister that had just left me. And they described how much I paid for the building and everything, how God was going to do some things with me. Let me tell you something. We're too far in to turn back. Somebody magnify Jesus with me. Hallelujah. You know, go with me to the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight. In the book of Revelation, I want you to go with me to chapter 12. And I want to read to you out of, again, this scripture, because I want, this needs to come into our hearts. In Revelation 12, I want you to see it with your eyes. Some of you memorize it and you get all excited. But you see, I've seen a lot of people in the churches, before they testify, their thing is to see how many scriptures they can quote. But it's not evident in their lives. Amen? It's not just memorizing. It's understanding and walking in the way of God. It's not a religious form. Amen? You know, in the churches we have, you know, the church sometimes has reminded me of the ark. When Noah brought all the animals.
All right.
Have all kinds. We have peacocks in the church. We have the long, stiff neck ones, the giraffes. Hippopotamus and all kinds of people in there. But we're going to stop with those. And sometimes they're as messy as the animals in the ark. Hallelujah. Somebody say, ouch, Lord. And so God loves us and wants to transform us to be more like Him. The Bible says that God has given us the power to move in the area of speaking the word and seeing it perform. So the words that I speak are not going to be void. They're not going to return empty. I must see it with my eyes. Amen. So the word that we speak, Jesus said He sent the word and the word healed him. Speak the word and you shall see it. The Bible says if we believe, we shall see it. A lot of things you're not going to see in the immediate, but if you stand and see, you'll see it with your eyes. It's like I said last night, don't get all shook up after you pray for somebody and they die. Amen. Don't let the enemy put heavies on you that you're a failure and that you don't have no faith. The Bible says to all of us is giving what?
A measure
of faith. So that means the word of faith, you need to understand how faith operates in deliverance or in anything the word says, because faith is the foundation. Faith is the word. What is faith? Faith is the word. Faith is not belief, okay? Belief is the action word. So when we believe in the word that we speak, then those things need to happen. And God says in the word that demonic forces are under the authority of the name that we have, which is the name of Jesus, which is the name above all names. So we have the power to break these curses, and we have the authority to speak in the name of Jesus and see the word of the Lord perform. Don't you just get tired of religious stuff?
Amen.
Amen. See, that's why God hasn't called us to be religious. Look at somebody and say, I'm just going to be me and Jesus. Not the old you, but the new you. Because remember, you are now a new creation. That means that the old things are gone, and all things have passed away, and all things have become new. Amen? So you need to understand who you are in Christ. You're not the same. That's why you need to understand being subjected as a servant and a son of God, because the world is not waiting for religious people and churches. The world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes.
And the manifestation of the sons of God are those matured ones that are hungering after righteousness in order for the Holy Spirit to work through us to do the things that God said we could do. Did Jesus say the greater things that he did we would do? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Amen. So how are we going to go there if we don't even study and we don't pray and we don't fast? And we don't ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill that which he said he was going to do through us. A lot of the church, all they know is form. They don't know how to conform. All they know is form. And there's a difference in form and conforming. Because God wants to conform you to the image of his Son so that you'll do the things that you do. See, it's not in an area of just walking and just being called and not drinking and cussing and chewing tobacco anymore. An unsafe person can do that stuff. Which I hope you're not chewing tobacco and doing that stuff. Because those spirits of addiction need to be broken and cast out of us. So God has given us, say it with me, God has given us power and authority. Over all the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. I have power and authority. Amen. Let me take you to the book of Ephesians for a moment. And I want to take you to Ephesians 1:17. It says in the scripture, and some of us know it, but it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There has to be a revelation of who he is in us. So that we're not just wanting it to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is when Jesus makes it happen. The Lord makes it happen. It says that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, let me tell you again and remind you that the working of the Holy Spirit, the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit now is to conform you and make you like Jesus. There's no other working. That means that the Holy Spirit, if you're going to do the works that he says we're going to do, he has to conform you to be working and doing the works that Jesus did. So that's why Jesus took the keys and went to hell and Hades, wherever he went, and grabbed the keys and says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And that's why we must understand the power of binding and loosening. Because whatever is loosed here is loosed there. Whatever is bound here is bound there. So God releases by the anointing as we speak the word to loosen and set free the captives as we believe and speak the word. Amen?
Amen.
You know, a lot of times in the church, you know, there are people that get afflicted, tormented, and pretty soon, most instead of just praying and believing for healing, judgment and condemnation comes because everybody's looking for the sin in that person. Mm-hmm. Amen? But God called us out of darkness into this marvelous light to deliver us from judgment. Let God do a work in you and in her or in him so that God can be able to work the works that he said he was going to work. Because the Bible teaches us that we must be filled with the knowledge of his will. Amen? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, according as you read it in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. That I might be know the knowledge of God, the power of God. Amen? So we must know the things and we must understand the workings of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3 verse 13, because it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Christ, what? Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we understand that, and yet a lot of people don't have the knowledge of breaking the curses or generational curses. In the book of Deuteronomy, if you read Deuteronomy 27 through 30, especially in verse 28, you find the blessings that God says, if you obey me, this is what's going to happen. This is the blessing. You'll be blessed going in and going out and doing everything. Everything you touch, God says, is going to be blessed. But then God puts the curse again, and those are things that we need to check in our lives. What kind of curse is working if these things are not happening? Is there a curse that needs to be broken? Because he says he's going to bless us. But he says, if you don't do such and such and you don't obey me, these are the curses that are coming upon you. And do you understand that he speaks more about curses than he does about blessings? That's how serious God is about us understanding the working of God that wants to bless us. He says, don't go there because the curse is going to be worse. And let me tell you something about cursing. I just want to touch on this for some of you that have a hard time in giving to the work of the ministry and in tithing. The curse is on you already because you're already a thief.
Yes.
I said, oh, God, why did he want to get on that? I'm not going to ask you for money. We already took the offering. But I want to let you know that the curse is on you because you're already robbing God. I said, well, that's Old Testament. I'm not going to go into the teaching tonight. But you know what? It's New Testament. Everything is in Christ.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And so the cursing comes when we don't want to obey the Word of God. And we can do everything. And Jesus said, all the things that you have done. But no, you haven't done what I've told you to do in your giving. And so you are cursed with a curse. Written in Malachi. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So that works today. Amen? And so we need to understand the working. That's why the Bible teaches us. You know, the Bible says we'll know the truth and the truth will what? It shall set you free. It's not truth. It's the truth that you really know. And some people know truth, but they don't obey the truth. And so the curses come on them. In John 17:17, the word says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So there is nothing that God will not set you free from. If you know the truth, there's something that's not working on you to set you free from those bondages in your life. Because the Bible says that the word is truth and the truth shall set us free. Amen? Come on, don't go to sleep on me here. That's why in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Amen?
Amen.
You see, the blessing of breaking curses is keeping God's word. That's the secret. It's not really no secret. He tells us in the book. It's to obey the Lord. Because you see, you can come under a curse for which you are personally not even responsible, but have inherited. There are curses that are on our lives that we had nothing to do with it.
Right.
But Papa and Grandpapa and Great-Grandpapa, they messed up. And whether you understand it or not, everybody comes from somewhere, somehow, something dysfunctional. And we all have to break curses. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so this things that you're not responsible, that you inherited either through your ancestors or someone else. You can inherit all kinds of problems, from all kinds of sickness, from asthma to cancer to obesity to alcoholism, heart problems and homosexuality. The worst is that they can be passed on to our children. Somebody say, help us, Lord. One of my elders in my church, I just ministered to his son, not one of my elders' stepson, I should say, or son-in-law. He was in drugs, and you know, these people in 5 years have been turned around. God has blessed them. Now she's teaching, she's already teaching in one of the adult classes, and God is blessing them financially. They came out of drugs, they were alcoholics, messed up to the core. They hadn't even seen their dad before they come to our church. They hadn't seen their dad and mom for 2 or 3 years. But the Lord moved upon him and began to break curses. And so the son-in-law came, and he has the same cirrhosis of the skin that his father has because of the generational curses and the alcohol and the drugs. He didn't deserve that. It's just that daddy messed up. And it passed down to him. And that's one thing that we need to understand, because I talked about this last night, how even the world, the medical profession, understands all this thing on curses that are transformed or transmitted down from generation to generation. I want to just share something with you that you need to understand, because go with me to the book of Genesis. If we stay a little longer, it's your fault. You wanted to sing all night. I love you. In Genesis 9, I want us to go there. And I want to, because some of you don't know this thing. Some of you already, you already know everything. But I want to just read to you and see what God has to say about this in the Bible about curses. I want to read to you out of Genesis 9. And I want you to go with me to verse 20. And we're going to read about Noah's drunkenness. And here is actually a picture of a family, beginning of a family curse that we read here. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, I want to just share something with you in Proverbs. If you go with me to Proverbs 26. A curse is not just going to happen. A curse doesn't just happen. Because in Proverbs 26 and verse 2, it says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So it says that a curse is not going to come without a cause. It means that there has to be a cause for a curse. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we rebuke all kind of demons and stuff, but the Bible says that immediately if we disobey and don't want to follow God, they are already set warriors to come and torment us. It's already an assignment they have. Somebody say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the curse causeless shall not come. Say it with me. The curse causeless shall not come. When I learn this principle, I must understand how it came and how I can break it. If we see sin and various things happening in our family, that sin is always a curse. Come on. Because You need to understand that sickness is always part of the curse. Amen? Poverty can pass from generation to generation. I have people in my church. I try to instruct them how to come out of that state, and you just don't break it. They have a welfare mentality. There's nothing wrong with being in welfare if you can't make it. I mean, there's a system for help, praise God. But a lot of people have a welfare mentality that they're never going to get out of the system. And this aren't elderly people. They're not even in their 40s. And the frustrating thing is that we're paying for it. Thank you, Jesus. Say it with me. Poverty can pass from generation to generation. That's what God says. It didn't just come on its own. There's a cost for the curse. Amen? And we need to break the curses in our life. Noah got drunk. Alcohol is one of the devil's favorite tools to open the door to hit his curses. Alcoholism is one of the tools that Satan uses. And while some Christians, and maybe some of you here today, you might read the scripture that says a little wine for the stomach's sake. But I can give you about 75 scriptures against it why you shouldn't even touch it. So if you read me that one says a little wine for the stomach's sake, well, I can give you 75 against it. How many of you know that you're priests and kings unto the Lord?
Amen.
What did God say is not for kings and priests to touch it?
That's right.
That they might be able to discern between good and evil.
Yes.
Another question that I'm going to ask you is what made the alcoholic, the first drink or the last drink? The first drink. If he had never touched it, he wouldn't be the alcoholic. And that's why this hideous thing, this open, hideous curse, alcoholism is not so much a sickness, it is a sin, and sin brings a curse. Hallelujah. See, that's why when people get drunk, they do things they wouldn't even normally do because their will is broken down. I became a hackle and jackal. Amen. I'll tell you, I used to get drunk. I used to have Levi's. And I'll tell you, when I had those Levi's and drank, man, I thought I was John Wayne. And I go fight. Just for the heck of it. And that's why they broke my spine in three places. They dislocated my shoulders. They busted my fingers. They broke my fingers. They busted my head wide open. My mom said, now I know you got air in your brain. Yo, mama, pray for me. Because when people get drunk, that's what they do. They do things they won't normally do. So what happened to Noah is so important that we understand that in our lives, because Noah was, he was uncovered in the tent. Now you need to understand that the word uncovered in the Hebrew indicates there was a homosexual act. Yeah. Lord, help me here. Father, in Jesus' name. Let me see if I can find something here for you. Lord, you are so good. Because let me tell you something that happens here. You know, one of the greatest destructive forces that come to us is the fact that people, that's why you have a lot of homosexuality stuff that's going on in our families. And that's why you see a lot of parents raping their children. And it's not just men doing it, it's women also. Amen. Somebody took the book of Habakkuk out of my book. There it is. And so you need to understand that those curses that come of drunkenness are things. How many of you ever got drunk? Come on, I'm not going to. You already said three. I'm not going to embarrass you. As long as you don't do it anymore. Amen. But in Habakkuk, some would call it Habakkuk, chapter 2, I want you to go with me to verse 15 and 16. It says, thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory.
For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid became of immense blood, and for the violence of the land of the city and all that dwell therein. In verse 15, woe unto him that giveth to his neighbor drink, that putteth a bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Habakkuk 2:15 through 16. So somebody gets drunk in order to have some kind of sexual sin, and their will is broken down, and they fall in sinfulness. That's what happened to Noah. If he hadn't gotten drunk, that wouldn't have happened. Amen? That's why you see, even in our country, they say that more people die in drunkenness than even more people have died in drunkenness or kill more people because they're drunk than what's happened in the wars. And that's a lot of people. It says also in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 20 verse 1, it says, don't even look at wine when it begins to bubble or ferment in the cup, because it's like the venom of a snake. When it touches you, it'll get you. Help us, Lord. Amen. Now, Ham was the one that found his father in his drunken condition, but the curse didn't come on him. I always thought the curse was on Ham, but it wasn't. I finally read the word. Because he didn't go into his father's tent and commit the homosexual act. It was his son Canaan that did it. And so the curse came on Canaan because it was Canaan who did it. And one of the things we see here that the curse came upon, the curse causeless does not come. And Canaan committed the sin. And so the curse was on Canaan there. And you know, it's I don't know if you heard it, but I know I've heard it. And sometimes you hear without studying and you teach it. That the curse had been on the black people because that was the mark that God gave to Ham, because Ham was black. And so that was a mark because of the sin of... And it wasn't even Ham that committed the sin.
That's right.
See, God didn't curse a race. He cursed sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, Ham was black. His name means hot or dark skin. But God didn't say, cursed be Ham. He cursed Canaan. Are you with me?
Yes.
What did God curse? He cursed the sin.
That's
right. Canaan was cursed. Ham had four sons, Canaan, Mizraim, Phut, and Cush. Phut and Cush were black sons, and they were the beginning of the African tribes. Mizraim... It's the beginning of Egypt, and Egyptians are kind of beige or colored olive, you know, complected. But Canaan was white. Hello? I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, I got my sisters about my color, married a very dark Mexican man, and their kids came out blonde with blue eyes. You wonder if there was a white man in the woodpile. I said, what happened here? One of my nephews, when he was born, looked like an albino. My brother was at the store one time when this kid was small, and some white lady had lost his kid, and so they're trying to take the kid from my brother. I said, this is my son. I said, no, it belongs to that lady over there. Because the Bible says that all these things happen and the generations will follow to the third and fourth generations. Are you getting something out of this?
Yeah.
You see, you can see how it came on the Canaanite generation. Because sexual sin was the worst in their line. Because why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? For what sin? Why did he destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? For sexual sins. For homosexuality, the perversion that was there was that the Sodomites and Gomorrahs wanted to have sex with the men of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It was homosexuality. And from whom did the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah come from? From Canaan. There were the Canaanites. Canaan was the first homosexual, and that's what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were involved in. And what... Look at the curse. He didn't just destroy one person. He didn't just destroy Cain. He wiped out the whole mass of people for one man. Look what's happening with Abraham Iraqis, or who are we fighting now? Iraq? Why are we fighting them? Because of two nations. Abraham thought, this is cool. Yeah, Sarah, I'll go into the helmet here, and I'm going to enjoy sex and go have a kid.
says, why don't you just have, who was it that told Abraham to go in there and have sex with her? Sure. So Abraham said, hey, jolly Joe. He probably thanked his wife, thank you, honey. And now there's a massive war with the Israelites. Amen? Because of the mistake of the curse. I said, well, that's the way God planned it. Lord, help us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? There were homosexuals to the end. You know, a while back I had a young man come into my office. And he says, they told me you could help me. I said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can help you or not. Sit down. This man is about, he must be about, he was probably about 6'5", 6'7". He was taller than me. I think I'm 6'1 or 6'2". I'm shrinking. With my knees, I'm getting bow-legged. You put somebody with knock knees next to me who spell okay. Praise God. Anyway, praise the Lord. And this young man came into my office and he said, maybe, they told me you could, and some of you are really checking me out, see if I'm bowling. And this young man came into my office and said, maybe they told me you could. I said, who sent you here? He says, well, I was sent from another town and they told me you could help me. So we started talking and finally he said, you know, I have a problem in that I work with this girl. Her name is Michelle, but she calls herself Michael and she's a lesbian. I said, oh. And he said, but I don't know why I'm attracted to her. I said, it's very simple. You're a homosexual. Well, talk about this long, tall Sally getting upset. He said, I am not a homosexual. I says, I've never committed. I'm a praise and worshiper in one of the bigger churches here, and I'm not a homosexual. I said, hey, I didn't go see you. You came to see me. I'm just telling you what I see and what I know. Sit down. Well, I'm not. He was fuming. So we talked some more and told me about his job, and then he started crying. And I said, what's your problem? He says, I went to a church, and I think he was in Pennsylvania. So are you in any Pennsylvanians here? Okay. Not on you. But he went to Pennsylvania, and a pastor over there, he went the first time he went to the church. This guy's a good-looking guy. I mean, he don't look no queer, like no homosexual to me. I mean, he looked tough and strong. And he said, I went to this church, and he was just a new baby in the Lord. And he said, I wanted to learn how to preach the word. And so I went to this church and I got a call Monday after the service. And secretary told me that the pastor wanted to see me. So he says, I got excited because I figured this guy wants to teach me to preach or something. He said, but he took me to the basement of the church and he enticed me to have sex with him. I says, the thing is, he says, that I could have refused. But I didn't. Let me tell you, we're like animals, man. Anybody begins to fondle you, and you go ape. And so this young man said, this pastor enticed me, and I went ahead. I says, and I've been having sex with him for 8 years.
Wow.
I'm not going to give you the name of the pastor, but if I ever meet him, I'll cast it out and call him.
Right.
Amen. And so we need to understand the perversion spirits that are in the house of worship. What do you think is happening to the Catholic Church right now? It's the same thing that happens when you separate yourself and you want to be pure when you don't have the strength. Especially if you're not taught about this thing. Amen. And so that's what happens in the prisons. As I was saying, there's a lot of homosexual. I went and taught this lesson in the prison and they said, we men needed to hear this message. The same thing about perversion. I said, well, what if we're married and our wives likes all this oral sex? I says, well, you know truth now? Stop it. Very simple. See, we're not given. The Bible says that we're given into our own lust. And when lust is conceived, sin is conceived. And when sin is there, death is there. Separation. Let me tell you something. I don't care how holy you are and how Christian you are or how holy I am or how Christian I think I am. I have no right to do those things. Because you see, in the book of Ezekiel, that was one of the greatest abominations to God that he showed Ezekiel through the little hole. So I'm going to show you what they do in the dark rooms of their homes. Don't get quiet.
Say amen or say ouch.
Amen. And so all the things that happen, that's why you're seeing the priest molesting kids. And the more it comes out, the more it's going to come out. I just had a lady start coming to my church here about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I start talking about these things, and I start doing a ministry. You know, I don't just preach on deliverance. I preach a balanced gospel and tithing too. Hey now! And my checkbook was 194. I said, man, I got to preach more on tithing, Lord. No. And so you see the things beginning to happen, and the more you preach it and the more it's announced, more people are going to come because this priest that had fondled and had sex with kids. This lady, she must be pretty close to her 40 years or so. She says, I need deliverance. I says, from perversion. You know, it blows them away, and the Lord just shows you. You're not something special. It's just that God wants to deliver them. And I said, from perversion. He says, a priest molested me. And you know what's the saddest thing? She says, my anger is towards my mom because my mother didn't believe me. So now there's the hate for mama because mom says, you know, we look at ministers and say, oh, no, they're the holy ones. But it's both spelled different. They're full of holes. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we must walk circumspectly, separated unto the Lord. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Opportunities are all around us for us ministers. Because somebody always wants to say, man, I'd like to go with him. Let me tell you, some women wouldn't like me because they never live with me. They've seen me preach. They don't know how I am. I'm pretty good, though. My wife says I'm okay. And so you need to understand the workings of God in your life to be able to pull down the strongholds and vain imaginations in you so that you're not all wrapped up. Let me tell you something. How many of you here are married or have been married? I don't see too many young ones here. Are you married?
We're married.
Hey, somebody got to tell you. No? I'm just kidding, brother. Let me tell you something that happens in our relationships with we that are married or have been married. We have been afraid to tell our wives, hey, I need you. Hello? Man, somebody just lost the anointing. Let me tell you something. That's one of the biggest faults we have in relationships. And women the same. Amen. If we were honest with how we are and how we feel, many things wouldn't happen. You can blame divorce and all kind of things, and but that's one of the greatest things. How many of you know communication, sex, and money? Amen. I can talk to him. Have you ever opened your mouth to say, hey, dude? Sit down. Amen. You see, that's why this thing involved the homosexual, and you can follow the Canaanites all the way through down to Joshua's day. They were involved in sexual sins. Bestiality, lesbianism, homosexuality. Amen. Bestiality means sex with animals. Sexual activity in front of the idols and with idols and all kind of junk. And I'll tell you, the more sin, the worse it gets. How many of you know that that practice makes perfect? I was good at sinning because I practiced it. I got good at doing it. That's why Satan is good at what he does. Amen. Practice makes perfect. Only practicing sin makes something terrible. Because when you do that, there's all kinds of consequences that happen to us. Amen? Stand with me. I'll tell you, you people have got to get a hold of this. Man, 3 yawns and I quit and I saw you. But God is an awesome God.
Amen.
God doesn't give us the word to condemn us.
That's right.
And the reason the word comes sometimes is like, you know, we don't want to hear sometimes hellfire and brimstone. Sometimes a dose of that is good for us.
Yes.
I mean, they don't have to preach hellfire and brimstone to me. I live in Phoenix. It's hot. Amen. Because you need to understand that the thing that provoked the curse in Noah's family was the drunkenness. And that opened the door to sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, that's why some of you here, you're still having your wine with your spaghetti. Ain't nobody going to tell me not to touch it. No, it's going to touch you. And then you're going to wish you, or desire, well, no wish. You would have desired, you would have paid attention. Because one of these days, you're going to hate the spaghetti. Because the spaghetti ain't going to bite you, but the fermented wine will. Amen? How many of you ever heard of the word tequila? It means to kill you.
That's right.
No, it doesn't, but that's my interpretation. Help me, Lord. Proverbs 20. I'm going to read to you Proverbs 20 so you'll know that I'm telling you from the Word. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Amen.
And somebody here needs to be delivered from that garbage of drinking wine. Somebody said, well, I don't drink strong drink. Let me tell you, the system is tremendous. Man, they got giant in the land over there. Let me. Okay, front and center, look up here. Thank you. Let me tell you something. I used to drink sometimes. I drank all day from morning to night. I felt like I was okay. And there's other times when one or two beers went and I was out of it. And I used to get sicker than a dog, and dogs get pretty sick. I turned green. But deliverance came. You know what amazes me? Nobody had to come and cast out the demon of alcohol. Nobody had to do that. I just said, God, I ain't going to touch it no more.
Amen.
And when I said that, deliverance came to me.
Amen.
And some of you have the power to break things and habits and addictions in your life if you only say, I'm going to fight. James teaches us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
That's right.
Sometimes you just have to say, I don't have to do it. See, the thing is that we like it. I like my wine coolers. Anybody know what wine coolers are? Uh-huh. You just went, mm-hmm. They don't cool you, they get you drunk. And so, Lord help us. In Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 6, it says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. That goes for everybody. But God calls us priests and kings unto God. Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5. You know, you could take verse 6, it says, give strong drink unto a man that he is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be heavy hearts.
You can use that both ways. Why touch it? You need to have wisdom in not touching it. You know, I know of churches, the brothers that are in the church, and man, they're charismatic and speaking tongues. But the first thing they do after service is that they go to the nightclub and they drink their beer. And it happens in every denomination, in churches. You don't have to be Pentecostal to do those things. And the perverted spirits that infiltrate the churches is so tremendous. And the destruction that comes is overwhelming. That's why we have this deliverance conferences and teach on these things. Amen?
Yes.
Leaders shouldn't even drink, not even socially, because they never know when they're going to be called to act on an emergency.
Amen.
That's why we shouldn't touch it. Lay people say in the church, sometimes I deal with the subjects of drinking. Says, well, we just have it in case somebody comes and they want to drink. I says, what kind of an idiot are you? Why are you an accomplice to their drunkenness? You're as guilty as they are. If I buy you marijuana, I'm trying to deliver you, but, you know, it's like an alcoholic. You go and buy him drink and say, here, so you won't have a hangover. And you go and help him, you become an accomplice to their sin. You're partakers of their sin and their curse while you're speaking in tongues and trying to glorify God. While we're deceiving ourselves into a false holiness. That's why the Bible says you'll know the truth. I already taught you truth. If you're drinking, you can't say you have no more excuse. All you have to do is speak against it and stand against it and see God work in your life. Let me tell you something. I have brothers say, well, you have a drink after work because it relaxes me. I'm going to knock you off and put you to sleep. Our thinking is rational. And when you rationalize, it deceives you. That's why people say whether they go through adultery or whatever, you know, we deal with counseling a lot and the curses and stuff. And I said, well, what about me? Doesn't anybody care about my feelings? Yeah, let's see what God has to say about your stinking feelings. Amen?
And so we break the curses by being obedient also.
Amen.
Demons will leave in the presence of worship, in the presence of just coming into the house of the Lord. But obedience has to be there. Let me tell you something. I didn't get delivered, and maybe there's still things that attract and attach to me, but I'm not ashamed if somebody says, let me cast this out of you. Do it. But don't come and try to cast flesh out of me. You better have the spirit of discernment. Don't come and play church with me. I don't have time for it. I love you. How many of you in your family have had the curse of drunkenness, alcoholism? Most of us have. How many of you have been broken that curse off of you already? How many of you haven't? Anybody here? Okay. I don't want to go there. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to give you this as instruction. Somebody there? Who? You. Okay, we're going to break that curse off of you, hon. Let me tell you something. The problem with some of you, and I've taught this in my church because I've seen people, you know, they've been ladies that have been molested as children. They've been delivered. They've been instructed. They've been demons of perversion cast out. And another evangelist comes in, and pretty soon he teaches on this, and they grab a hold of it, and oh, God. If you've been delivered, resist that and don't go there anymore. Because you'll never get free. That's why Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't deliver anybody, because they're constantly confessing they're drunkards and alcoholics. You know, they stand up in their meetings and says, if you're born again, why are you saying that you're an alcoholic? So you're an alcoholic for life. I says, no, I'm not. I understand here that God says I'm a saint and a servant of the Most High. I'm a king and a priest. I belong to a holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. I'm righteous in His sight. I am not what I used to be. Somebody praise God with me. Because deliverance belongs to the righteous nation of God. Hallelujah. I came in this center here about 7 years ago, I guess it was. And a lady minister was here who's now become a real good friend of mine. And I go minister in her church. And I came in here and I walked right in front of her. I said, I want to talk to you. This and this is what your dad did. And this is what your dad said. And this is where you are. She backed off. She said, you scare me. I said, you're a minister of the gospel. And God is not here to scare you or to embarrass you. I says, why would I want to know what your dad did to you? What good is that to me? But when God begins to move and the spirit of discernment comes and God speaks the word, then there's got to be a breaking and a healing to come. Otherwise, those bondages are carrying there. And the curses that are spoken to some of you, even though we've broken some curses, the curses that were spoken by your dad and those things, you still haven't grabbed a hold. There's some of you that came in new that curses need to be broken of the words that are just spoken to you.
Yes. Yes.
And so all this life, she says, I know I'm going to be ugly the rest of my life, and I'm going to be fat, and I'm not going to be anything because my dad raped me to my 16th year. This is reality. And it's passed from generation to generation. I'm going to ask here tonight if there's one or two or three or a few of you that are not born again. That means you haven't opened the door to your heart to accept Jesus to come in and save you. I'm not talking about total deliverance right now. I'm just asking that your names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, if you hear me knocking at the door of your heart, and you invite me to come in, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, He says, I'm going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're going to be for eternity with me. And I will set you free. Is there anybody here? I'm not talking about going to Catholic Church or Baptist Church or Pentecostal churches. I am asking you about opening the door of your heart and say, Jesus, I want to repent because there's sin in my life. Whether you understand it or not, we were born in sin. But then all that other junk that adds up to curses and everything that we take on in our own perversions and our own ways, all kind of sin and all kind of demonic stuff is there. I've dealt with too many demons. I've heard them yell at me and scream at me and try to kill me. Snakes appear in my church. Real snakes. So I'm not here just trying to make it happen and teach you out of the word something. I know what's going on. The devil is the same also. Yesterday, today, and forever, I guess, until he's bound forever in hell. But Jesus is greater because He says that the greater power is in you than he that is in the world. What's your name, hon? Mandy? Are you born again? Come over here. Anybody that needs the generational curse broken on this area, I want you to come right now. Don't be afraid. God loves you. Are you Jewish? By adoption. Oh, that's good. Brother, know what you come.
Break that curse of alcohol and generational curse on her, brother. I know it's been a long day, but it's been a helpful day. Just stay in the attitude of worship. In the name of Jesus. If you feel like you must go, I'm going to ask you to go very quietly. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over all these curses of alcohol and everything that's happened in you. Breaking the curse of alcohol. In the name of Jesus. Did we break the curse of alcohol off of you last night? Huh?
I haven't drank since then.
Well, praise God. Did they break that curse off of you?
He's all the help I need.
Yeah, he broke that curse off.
Mm.
What is your name?
My name is Darren.
Darren. I want you to keep this young man in prayer and love him.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, setting us free from every inherited demonic entanglement of curses that come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're wonderful. In counsel, you're wonderful. You know that song? Excellent in working, you are excellent. Mighty to deliver, you are mighty. Glory be to God forevermore. Oh Lord, you're wonderful in counsel, you're wonderful. Excellent in working, you are excellent. Mighty to deliver, you're mighty. Glory be to God forevermore. Sing that song, He's a Savior of. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, as you touch Darren, give him the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Can I hear you sing? Father, in Jesus' name, just touch this young man tonight. Bless him. In Jesus' name, say, Father, I thank you tonight for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You keep coming here. Okay? Okay?
New wine, new wine, and a whoredoms.
Amen.
Take away the soul.
Amen.
Take away the heart.
That's it.
Hosea chapter 5.
Amen.
Enslave the heart.
That's it.
You lose part of your soul.
Amen.
Become an alcoholic. Steal your soul out of you. Steal your emotions. Steal part of your mind and enslave you. Total whoredom.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You love the Lord?
Yes.
You still love me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. And I want you to shout the Shabbat of the Lord. I want you to shout when I count three, the Lord be magnified. One, two, three. The Lord be magnified. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brother Glenn, God bless you. Thanks, sister.
Prayer meeting in the morning at 6 o'clock. And you know what he's teaching tonight? If they'd have been teaching this in the 10s and 20s and 30s, we wouldn't have what we've got today. If I'd have been taught what he's taught tonight, there would have been a whole lot of things different in my life. But I've been in a Pentecostal church since I was born. And I never heard this taught until I taught it myself. And that's a disgrace. And it's more than a disgrace. Because it should be taught in the Sunday school classes. They're teaching in the schools all about sex. But we can't teach it to our Sunday school kids in Sunday school. Something's wrong. It's backwards. Amen. If we teach the kids that God said... Then we'd have, they would put the fear of God in them so that they would realize that God said you're cursed if you do these things. Anyway, the Lord bless you. Prayer meeting in the morning. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.